Blog Talk Radio.
Another edition of Keeping It Real Hot and Fresh with your boy Z Fly. Smooth Tea is on the line. I hope everybody had a great Monday, a great weekend, because I know I did. I was in ATL doing my thing, so y'all know how that go. But, yeah, so I did my thing. So, so anyway, so Tommy, so how you doing, boy?
Good as always, chilling. You know how I do.
Okay, chilling, chilling. Well, for all y'all who has been listening to our show for the last 2 times in a row, y'all know that our girl Tori, you know, she's doing her own thing now, so she's unable to host with us. But if you've been listening, you know that we are looking for 2 more female hosts. So we've been putting it out there, you know, to apply, you know what I'm saying, let us know if you want to be a host with us or not, you know, every Monday night. So what we actually did was we have had a lot of people, you know, applying for the position, which is very good. Very happy about that. And tonight we got a special guest for y'all. We have 2 special hosts who will be hosting with us tonight to see how they will like, you know what I'm saying, hosting with me and Tommy. Now probably with me they won't mind, but with Tommy, he might run away. So that's the sad thing about it. So hopefully
I gotta be like that for.
I'm sorry.
You're not scared. Not scared.
but welcome to the show. We have Yada and we have Diane. Diane and Yada, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Cool. So I'm pretty sure, you know, people, you know, want to know what you're all about, where y'all at, where y'all from, what y'all doing. So let's see. Yada, why don't you tell us where you're from, what you do, what y'all about?
Okay. I'm from ATL. I am a community resident services coordinator. That means I plan events for families, low-income families, and youth. And I also love to do music.
Oh, really? What type of music?
I rap. I do a little background vocals, and I write.
Okay, so you could be signing with So Deaf Hands. So what about you?
I'm from Merle's Inlet, South Carolina, and, well, I'm originally from upstate New York, but I live in Merle's Inlet, South Carolina now, and I actually am a early childhood coordinator. I work with low-income, high-poverty, at-risk families doing home visiting, and pretty much everybody that I work with are teen parents, so teen parents that have 2 or 3 children by the age of 19 or 20.
That's cool. All right. Well, I guess it's me and Tommy's turn now. Gosh. Yeah, I was joking. No, I'm Zach. I'm one of the hosts of the show. Currently, I live in Raleigh, North Carolina. You know, doing my little thing in Raleigh. I do this, you know, hosting, and then I also have a full-time job as well. So, basically, you know, I'm just enjoying me, having a great time, enjoying life. Okay, can I speak? You know, can I speak? Can I speak?
I'm just saying, I have a job going for you.
Okay, well, in that case, then Tommy, so tell us about you.
Well, I'm Tommy. I'm staying in Arizona right now, North Carolina. I'm the good-looking one on the show. And
okay.
I am currently unemployed, but, you know, things will change.
Wow.
I am looking for a job.
Well, I
but
also
I
help
so
people find employment. I got
what?
You.
We help you find employment?
Yes, that's what I do as well.
Okay.
You know
what? But you know, but speaking of unemployment, how is the recession affecting y'all? Because I mean, we had a few topics about it, you know, on previous shows where, you know, I mean, just I mean, like with everything that Obama's trying to do, and then like you know the hard time that he's going through. I mean, like, what are some things that maybe y'all had to change in y'all lifestyle because of the recession?
Well, for me personally, I mean, I'm just kind of going day by day because it seems like whenever the economy is suffering, education is the first thing to go, and they take slashes in that in a big way. And I don't know, like, I'm on a contract right now until the end of June, and it's kind of keep your fingers crossed pretty much every day that I'm going to have a job after that. So it's rough.
It is rough. How about you, Yara?
Yes, I also take it one day at a time. I was actually laid off in December. I was a case manager, and I experienced, you know, a lot of different changes. Fortunately, I was able to find something, and now I, like I said, help find employment for my clients, and I also help find housing and various, you know, needs, utilities, whatever they may need.
Okay. Now, am I saying your name right? I don't, you know what I'm saying? I will mess with somebody's name in a minute. Am I saying it right?
You're saying it correct.
Okay. Well, women, thank you for joining us tonight on our show. We really look forward to this show. So I guess we'll go into the topic. So tonight, everybody, we're going to be talking about teenagers and just, you know what I'm saying, basically the pregnancies, the teen pregnancies that is going on in the world. I mean, I was looking at the news the other day, and I think it was like this 12-year-old, I mean, he wasn't even a teenager yet, this 12-year-old boy, actually, who, you know what I'm saying, got a girl pregnant, and here he is with, like, a child. So tonight we're talking about teen pregnancies and how it is affecting just families. I mean, why are so many teens getting pregnant? I mean, it's not just it's something. You know, is it the media? Is it peer pressure? It's something. So tonight we're going to talk about that and try to get what's really going on with the pregnancies of teens. So what do y'all think about teen pregnancy?
I personally think because of the situations that I've been in, I think it's the lack of education and upbringing. Because of working in a very low-income area, these kids are getting pregnant, and a lot of their parents were teens at the same time. It's just an evolution of learning all that they already know. So it's really difficult for them to know any different, and I really think that they need to start incorporating into the schools a lot more sex education, and it needs to be more – it needs to be put out there in a way that is going to show them that, you know, parenting is not easy. It's not, you know, a game. It's very difficult, and it's another job at hand.
Yes, and I would have to agree. I think it's due to a lack of inadequate supervision as well as educational neglect. I also think that, you know, it has gotten to the point where a lot of our teens are raising themselves due to parents having to work or just various issues that are going on. So it's definitely, you know, something that the community needs to look at and figure out what, you know, can help get this under control.
What do you think, Zach? So, you know, I know you got, like, five kids, right?
By five different women?
okay, y'all trying to play me already.
Sorry.
Okay. But Ashley, I agree with y'all too, because, I mean, like, where I live at, you know, here in Raleigh, I see, like, so many teenagers. I mean, these are, like, probably 13, 14, who got, like, 3 kids already. I mean, like, the parents, they should be out. So what?
I said, what area are you living in?
The parents are too busy. They're out, you know, clubbing. kind of like what I think Yada just said about, you know, the parents, they're not really into their child's life. It's like the children, they're raising themselves now. I mean.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's very unfortunate. Tommy, what do you think?
Well, I ain't going to say that it's the parent supervision with the kids. I mean, if anybody that has been a child knows, you can get away from your parents' eyes anytime, or you can do something at school if you want to. Because I went to school with people that were having sex in the bathroom. So I'm not going to say that's it, because you can only keep so much of an eye on your child before you just, you know, basically not letting them go anywhere or do anything. So it comes down to understanding of what it is and a time for it, you know what I'm saying? You need to teach them that they don't need to be doing this now. That's not necessarily going to make them wait.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I think that also if we focus more on relationship building and learning how to communicate, you know, amongst families, then, you know, maybe some of these things would come out. And again, like you said, you know, people – nothing's new, you know, so things continue to go on, but maybe if we try, we can try to at least get the information across to let them know that, you know, you can take whatever route you want to take. You don't have to take the generational route or the obvious bad decision. You know, we need to make better decisions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all depending on how the child is, too, because I grew up with a lot of people that smoke weed. Pretty much all my friends that I grew up with now smoke weed. Or stealing all this kind of stuff, and I just chose not to hang around them. I don't even have any of their phone numbers in my phone or anything, or talk
to them. Exactly. Assets, not liabilities.
Exactly. And all Zach friends are crazy, just like him.
Well, I haven't met the same person yet, you know.
Yeah,
you
right.
But, you know, but kind of like what y'all said, too, I mean, it really starts, you know, in the house. Like, it all depends on, too, like, the foundation that, you know, the parent sets in the house. I mean, yeah, you know, your kid, I mean, a teenager, child, whoever, they're going to do whatever they want to do. But still, if our parents set that foundation, whenever they are, you know, up against these type of situations, you know what I'm saying, they will remember what their parents, you know, said or I mean, more than likely, I mean, they could still make the wrong choice, but more than likely, in some cases, you know, they would make the right choices because, you know, the parents, yeah, you know what I'm saying, because the parents have put in the foundation, they've really let them know. Because, I mean, I was at somebody's house one time, the kids would tell, I mean, hollering at the parents, telling them what to do. I was at a restaurant one day, where, like, the child, she wanted a soda or something, and then so the mom was like, well, no, you don't need a soda because, well, you know, whatever. The child, she told her mama that, no, I want a soda now, and the mama got her a soda.
Rose reverse.
That's called accidental rewarding. I did that to my parents growing up. Nag them until they give you what you want.
And that's
how
it works. Nothing's new.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I do agree with what you're saying, though, like with it, regardless of how many teachers that a child goes through in their lives, the parents or the guardian or whoever is raising the child is the most important teacher in their life. And, you know, I've done home visits with families, and, you know, I worked one time with a 26-year-old man, and I was saying, you can tell your child what they're doing wrong. I'm like, but you need to reinforce it with what they're doing right.
Right.
And he said to me, well, it's common sense. I said, well, you're 26. He's 2. Like, what's
exactly
common sense to you isn't the same to a 2-year-old.
Right.
So it's just having that positive reinforcement at home and just being a role model to your child.
Exactly.
So.
Mm-hmm. Continuously.
That's true. But see, but the thing is, like, but whenever a teenager do become pregnant, you know, it's like, let's say like somebody's 15, you know, they become pregnant. How do y'all think, in like some situations where maybe the parent, you know, really is on their children, you know, they're really, you know, on raising them, but the child still ends up pregnant. Of course, sometimes it's a lot on the woman, but these guys, these baby daddies, or however you want to say it, they're not really taking their part. So how do y'all see that? I mean, because like a lot. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was gonna say like with what I do, it's difficult because right now I work with about 20 plus families, and I think there's two fathers involved. So it's very difficult to see. A lot of the times, I just see these girls as being so young, and it's just like they don't want to start any problems with these guys. They, you know, they still look at them. A lot of the times, the man is older, the guy is older, and they just look at this guy like, well, I can't, you know, he might come back to me, he might do this, he might do that, and they, to me, these teens are just, they're still young children in my eyes because they just haven't matured enough. That they understand the responsibility of parenthood, and they just are seeking attention and, you know, love, basically.
Yeah, I think they're looking for love and affection and life and thinking that they can get life, you know, from giving a child, you know, to a man or being with them unprotected. But I think, you know, it's a long-term decision that they're not at an age to really make that decision, but it happens so quickly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the ones that think that if they get pregnant that the guy won't leave them or all that kind of stuff.
Exactly. it'll make the relationship better or, you know, something like that.
But you know what? But the funny thing is, a lot of times people, they will look at it more as from, you know, the girl's point of view. But how about the guys? You know, of course, you know, they're, you know, most people will probably say, you know, guys like sex, no, you know, but the point is, why would you, or why do y'all think a guy would, you know, 16, 17, whatever, 15, have one thing, I mean, you know, all these safe sex or whatever, because even though he may not be having the child, he still, you know, that's still his child, that's still a responsibility. I mean, maybe that's not how he see it at the time, you know, in the moment, but to me, I mean, because, like, a lot of times the male can go through a lot as well, you know, maybe, you know, as far, you know what I'm saying?
I think looking for the same thing that she's looking for. They're looking for the same things, you know, and that's how it comes together, unfortunately.
I think that's, like, responsibility, too, though, because if a child grows up with no kind of responsibility, if he were to have a baby young, what make you think he's going to take care of that? He's not used to having to take care of anything, and the parents, basically, I ain't gonna say it's the parents' fault, but a lot of these parents try to be their child's friend, so that's making the problem right there. Instead of them, you know, say the things that they need to hear, you tell them what they want to hear.
Right, and you have to, one thing that my mother always told me and my brothers is, whatever you do, just be prepared to be responsible, you know, for your actions.
Yep.
Simple as that. So, I understand that.
Well, excuse me for saying this, but I do think that you boys were pretty much born with the horny gene when you turned about 11, so.
Yeah.
You know.
That couldn't help.
I guess the girls, too, though. There's a lot of freaky girls.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's true.
No comment. I don't know.
Oh, man. So earlier, I can't remember if it was Diane or Yada, but you had said something about, I can't remember who said it, but one of y'all had said something about, you know, it's very important to, you know, educate our children and make sure, you know, they come out on the right path. Now, let's say here you are, you know, a parent. Here they are doing everything they can to educate their children, keep them on the right path, you know, so that they don't, you know, stray off, get pregnant, drugs, whatever. But then here you have the media, TV, you know, just promoting sex. I mean, and then even though you lock your TV channels, I mean, you can't stop it. I mean, there's kids at school that see it. There's magazines. How do we think that the media really takes a big part or any part of how of the reason why children are getting pregnant these days? Because when
well,
maybe, I'm sorry, go ahead. I'm gonna say.
Well, I was gonna say that, and this is Yada. I have three daughters. They're very young, but I'm already experiencing these issues. Sometimes, you know, I allow them to watch a video or, you know, various things, and then, you know, they may start dancing or, you know, may do something that they didn't know was wrong or improper, and they haven't seen me do it, but just some various things, and even myself, you know, allowing them to sit in on some shows and stuff like that. But it's just something that you definitely battle with.
Yeah, that's the thing about it. You can't shelter your children too much, and you can't put them out there too much and let them know
right.
too much. Because I grew up with a lot of people whose parents didn't let them go anywhere. When school was out, you would come home, and all the rest of the day, you didn't go nowhere. And now they're growing out on their own. All of them got babies and are smoking weed, going crazy. Because this is a bunch of stuff they never got a chance to get into.
So I think you have to find, you know, I won't say a happy medium, but some area or some trust, you know, within the parents to the child so that they are allowed to have, you know, a life of their own, you know, as they grow. But at the same time, you know how to be responsible and just try to be the best that they can be.
Well, I think personally, and I mean, I like to have a good time, and, you know, I'm very outgoing and everything, but I personally think this day and age that sex has been devalued in a very big way. I mean, and when you turn on the TV and you're watching these shows where kids in high school are having sex and it's the norm, that to me that just doesn't make sense, you know. And it's just when other kids see that, I don't think it should be the norm this day and age, and it has become that. And that's, again, where I say parents need to teach their children this is not right, this is not normal, this is not everyday life.
And that's true, because sometimes, you know, like I said, when we are watching things, I have to rush and flick the channel or turn, you know, and it's that serious. It's every other show or every other commercial. So it is definitely glorified.
Yeah, it sure is.
Yeah. And then, like, for
I think it's the day and age that we're in, sex sells in a big way, and it always has, but it's more so now. Today's
everything is fast. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Instant gratification, and everything is fast, and it's we're moving too fast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I've seen my girlfriend's kids watch cartoons that they have sex jokes in them, or they'll
mm-hmm.
say something that pertains to sex. And I'm like, you let her watch this? And she's like, well, I mean, she watches it at her dad's house or something like that.
Well, I
and
had to.
A lot of these kids can understand these sex jokes, too. They'll be sitting there laughing at it. And they
exactly.
know what the people are talking about.
Exactly. They're smarter than we give them credit for. And I had to take a SpongeBob movie away from my kids because Patrick had on fishnet pantyhose and high heel boots, you know, and it was just crazy.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's deep.
It really is deep. It really is deep.
that's true.
Well, because like I have a little nephew, and I mean, well, he don't be saying a lot of stuff, but I know like some of his little friends, they be saying some stuff like what happened like. My mama and daddy did something, and they're like, you know what they're talking about. So you'd be like, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it kind of shocked you for a moment, and you're like, okay, I know he didn't just say that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this little boy's 4 years old. I mean, what did he know about what his mom and daddy were doing? See, for one thing, another thing, yeah, exactly. These parents, they're just getting so wild and out of control that, that the parents, that the kids are just hearing and,
No, Zach and Tommy, do you guys have children yourself?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Now Tommy, how many you got, Tommy? No,
none of them. No, I'm just playing. I don't have any kids that I'm aware of.
No.
You're breaking up.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah, no. Actually, we don't have any kids. But we have enough nieces and nephews that are bad, and they're about
yeah.
to yes.
Okay. So you get a tape.
Mm-hmm.
So do you have any
That's
children? Diane?
No, I don't. And it's funny because I'm a parent educator. I've taken about 100 different trainings, and I'll probably get pregnant one day and be like, oh, my God, what do I do? You know, that's all I could imagine.
Oh, yeah.
So I think I'm prepared when it does happen one day, but I'm just praying when they're 15 I'm not calling you up and having to be like, my kid's one of those ones that got pregnant.
Okay.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, another thing, too, that I've noticed, too, but not by everybody, but, like, by some people, I mean, can y'all believe it? I believe, too, that for some teenagers, it's kind of like a trend. You know, it's like, okay, well, you know,
yeah.
My friend got pregnant. Yeah, I mean, that's bad.
Yeah.
You're like getting pregnant because you think it's the thing to do, get pregnant now.
They all want to be moms together.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I mean, my whole thing is, you know, they don't really understand because, of course, they're young, of course, but, I mean, that's a life, you know, that you're going to have for the rest of your life. I mean, a lot of people say,
exactly.
You know, one of our, my child get 18 years old, you know, then they're gone. But no, because I'm past 18, and I say ask my parents and stuff.
I still get sick and call my mom, you know. I know.
Exactly. It's a lifetime deal.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. But what we're going to do
about
is
you got to be a parent instead of a friend. My dad is not. He'll tell you, I'm your daddy. I ain't your friend. He won't drink with me or anything like that.
I agree.
Okay. That's fair enough. Yeah.
That's true. So anybody that's out there listening and you want to call in and comment on this topic, please feel free to do so. The number is 646-200-3136. Again, 646-200-3136. And let us know, what do you think about teen pregnancy? We're going to take a little break right now, and whenever we get back, we're going to talk more about the teens. It's all about the teens tonight. Teens are doing more than getting pregnant these days, people. Some are even trying to do plastic surgery. Can you believe it? So we're going to talk about that when we get back from the break. And this is Keeping It Real Hot and Fresh. It's being Raleigh Durham, Chapel Hill.
Okay.
It should not come as a surprise to anybody that escorts around the country are tuned in to how the media cover our work and our lives. It may, however, come as a surprise to some that sex workers in many sectors have something to say about it. They have insight, they have analysis, and they have outrage. Bound Not Gagged is our way of responding to the injustice and hypocrisy that keeps sex workers' voices muted and faces hidden. Sex workers may be in hiding, but they refuse to be silenced. At Bound Not Gagged, you will get an inside look at the true inner workings of this mysterious business. The Desiree Alliance is a proud sponsor of this project. Remember, www.boundnotgagged.com.
And we're back. Thank you. This is Keeping It Real Hot and Fresh with Zach, Tommy. And tonight we have two very special guests with us. We have Yada and from ATL, and then we have Diane from what part of South Carolina?
Myrtle Finley. It's like 10 minutes from Myrtle Beach.
Okay. So in other words, Myrtle Beach. There we go.
Yeah.
All right.
Exactly.
So if you're just now joining us, tonight we're talking about teen pregnancy and just how, you know, in some people's eyes is very disappointing. I mean, really, you know, whenever you hear of a teenager that's pregnant these days, I mean, it doesn't really sit well.
It's stress.
Yeah, there you go. However, things do happen. So basically we're just talking about, you know, options and, you know, giving teens, you know, eye-openers, you know, it's not the end of the world. You still keep on. But however, tonight we're also talking about plastic surgery that teenagers, not grown-ups, but teenagers are trying to do on themselves. So I don't know about y'all, but I think that's a too far.
I think you should be at least 21 years of age.
Yeah. And then, like, another thing, too, I mean, like, I know, like, whenever you're going through your teenage years, I mean, years, you haven't, you know, you haven't developed. So a lot of teenagers, you know, they don't like the way the nose look, or they got freckles or whatever, or too small lips or whatever. So really, I mean, whenever you're in those years, you're still developing. So trying to get plastic surgery is kind of too silly.
Yeah, too soon. Yeah, your body is still developing, like you said. And then also your mind is still developing. You know, that may not necessarily be something that you would do later in life. So I think that, you know, you should be of at least 21 years of age to make those kind of decisions. And I think that's kind of young, but, you know, a teenager in plastic surgery is not necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this topic is where I feel like the media plays a big, big role.
Yes, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if you look at anything on TV nowadays, I mean, the women are just big-breasted and they're all thin, and it's just, I mean, it's not, to me, it's not reality, you know, a huge percentage of Americans are overweight, yet all the skinny people seem to make it on TV.
Yep.
Right. In workout gear, like, you know, it's not right, because you should be able to be comfortable within your own, you know, and having to see something that you think is what should be and try to chase that, you know, Hollywood dream and what you see on TV is no good, and especially for someone that still, like we said, is still just developing and not knowing what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. Because kind of like what you said, Diane, like shows like America's Next Top Model and, you know, all of these celebrities, they're all getting these facelifts and plastic surgeries and, you know, and then, like, whenever a young, especially girls, you know, a young girl sees it, she's like, well, you know, that's how I have to look, to look pretty. Or you know. Be too skinny.
Well, Jessica Simpson, when those pictures came out, she looked heavier. She was like, oh, I love my body. And then the next 2 weeks, you're seeing a magazine, I dropped 15 pounds in 2 weeks. You know, it's just not a healthy mentality at all, you know. And she said she was comfortable. Well, obviously, the media got to her, too.
Exactly.
So.
Mm-hmm.
It's bad. You know, skinny and unhealthy is no good. And, you know, all the different things, you know, it's baffling.
I know you're going on, right?
But some of that could start in school, though, with getting picked on and stuff like that.
Sure.
Yeah. And then kids get a poor outlook on themselves, you know.
Yeah. That's true.
I got picked on all my life, but it never really affected how I feel about myself.
Right, and that's why you have to have good self-esteem and good judgment. You know, everything isn't for everybody.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, there's just a very warped, like, understanding of beauty nowadays, and it's just like people should be known for who they are, not what they look like on the outside, but unfortunately it's not the case nowadays. Mm-hmm.
And then, like, my whole thing, I'm trying to figure out where do they find the money for the surgery?
Right.
You know, probably something is not cheap.
Some of them
trying to make ends meet, you know.
Wait, some of them cover people's insurance now, though.
Oh, really?
People's parents will pay for it just because they feel like, I want my child to fit in and I want her to be beautiful and all that kind of stuff. That's your problem.
Right, but they should be instilling something different, and that's where the problem lies, you know, a lot of times. If you would allow, you know, if I would pay $10,000 for my daughter to get plastic surgery and she's in high school, that just makes no sense.
It don't make any sense. I mean, why would we pay that much for your high school daughter because she didn't like her nose or she didn't like her lips. I mean,
and now they have
and jump the car.
Now they have payment plans and, you know, installments, and this is serious. I live in Atlanta, and one of the smaller cities, you know, they have this place where people go and they pay like a deposit and a monthly bill for this plastic surgery.
I think a lot of parents also live vicariously through their children. Like, if they were picked on in school or if they you know, weren't the prettiest one in school, they're going to want to make sure that their child didn't go through the same thing that they did.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, and then the parents, they won't see it like, okay, well, you know, my daughter, she don't really need this. You know, they're looking at it like, well, I'm going to help my daughter out. You know, yeah, I mean, they don't look at it like for what it is. They're looking at it like, you know, I'm helping my daughter. You know, this is my daughter. You know, she wants bigger discs or smaller discs, so I'm going to help her out. So they go pay all that money. And then their teenage daughter or a son or whatever, looking like, you know, how they're looking. And they don't see anything wrong with it.
Yeah,
well, I always look at the ones from the beauty pageants, that, like the little girls that are 4 and 5 in beauty pageants and the mothers that are pushing them into that. And it's, what 4 or 5-year-old wants to have caked on makeup? And it's only because mom's pushing them, you know, to be that way. And it's just, it's very sad.
Exactly, and I think a lot of times we as parents don't know what to do. So sometimes, you know, we make mistakes, you know, over and over again due to the issue that we may not have ironed out for ourselves.
That's true.
One thing about it, just because you get your child plastic surgery when they're young, that doesn't mean that they're not going to want something again when they're older. And then basically what you can do is make a plastic surgery addict out of your child because they want to fix every little imperfection they have with themselves.
Exactly, and that's scary. That's like alcohol or drugs, and it's scary.
It's a shame what the world is coming to. It's either like be like the most beautiful person around or basically just be ugly and everybody's going to talk about you.
Yeah, but
I ain't gonna lie. I mean, me and Zach get together, we will talk about everybody. But
It'll be everybody.
I don't care. I will talk about everybody. But at the same time, I mean, I'm not gonna knock anybody for what you are or something like that. If you ugly, you ugly. That's not everybody.
You got to be a strong person inside, you know, either, you know, what you look like, you know, if you're beautiful in the inside, your outer appearance is not that serious, but, you know, we make jokes, you know, and sometimes I think people's, but that's back to mental health. I think a lot of times people can't handle things, but I think it may be because, you know, they may need counseling or some other type of way to deal with their issues and not plastic surgery and pregnancy.
That's true. I mean, because, like, even if you have to think of, like, you know, the celebrities, obviously they're not happy with their life. You know, they got all this fame, this money, but it don't make that sense to get that many nose jobs, facelifts.
Yeah.
I mean, look at Lil' Kim.
And I didn't know if we could say names, but I was looking at Michael Jackson or something the other day.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, oh, my goodness, I was looking at his eyes, though. You know, he still has the same beautiful round, you know, almond eyes, but everything else is scary.
It is. I mean, it's really scary. I mean, he's gotten
so
bad
Michael,
now.
I love your music.
He's gotten so bad now that he's wearing, like, masks over his face. I mean, he really looks like an alien. He really does. I mean,
he's pretty scary nowadays. Yeah.
He wearing that mask because he just got a nose job.
What nose? He ain't got no nose.
It don't even work no more.
And what's the cutoff if we're allowing it at 15 and they're continuing to get it until 30 for 15 years? I mean, where does this begin and where does it end?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Well, Zach and Tommy, like, how old are you guys, if you don't mind me asking?
Oh, gosh, what is about to call
him. Well, I'm not asking two women.
25. I'm 25.
Okay.
Okay.
You said what?
They know you ain't that lying.
How are you?
I'm 22.
22,
okay.
So he's 18.
Yep, Tommy Show is 18. You right.
I got a young mentality. I keep it that way.
But you guys are doing great. You're doing great.
Well, thank you.
But, and I don't mind telling my age. I'll be 27 in 2 weeks. And this is Yana.
Oh, man, I am the old bird on this call right now. I didn't think I would be, but I am.
Well, how old are you?
30.
Diane? Oh, that's not old. No, Diane, I'm about to stop you right there because, you know, I'm, no.
Right around the corner.
That's right. You know, no, 30 is not old because I know, like, some people who.
20.
It is. It really is because I know a lot of people.
Oh, no, yeah, I don't.
Okay.
I don't get fazed by it. I'm always like, yeah, I'm a pretty hot 30-year-old. I won't lie.
There you go. Okay.
The reason I asked the question was just because I'm 30, so, you know, I'm a little bit older, but it's just like I look at where I came from the time I was 16, 18 to like 25 and then to 30 and how much I've developed as a person just maturing wise, and it's just but middle school and high school were rough years. Kids are mean. They're really mean.
Yeah.
So it's just, you know.
Yeah, especially now because you know, like a lot of kids now, they feel like they have to be so tough and then, you know, so bullish or so cool, you know.
Yeah.
So of course they get, like, their little cliques or whatever, and, you know, if you're not dressing, talking, acting the way they think, you know, then you just, yeah.
Yeah, and thank you. Thank you for uniforms. My kids have uniforms, but I think that it's hard. It's hard.
Mm-hmm. It really is hard. It really is. I mean, because there's so much influence, you know, there's so much, mm-hmm. you know, wanting to be accepted.
Exactly, and having to be accepted, you know.
That's true. That is true. So everybody who's
all on a person, though. I mean, that's how you take it. Some people you can pick on all their life, and it doesn't affect them. And then the other people you pick on them, I won't even lie. I send a lot of people home crying. You know, picking on
Wow.
But at the same time, I'm picking on them. I'm being picked on.
Yeah,
I just didn't let it affect me like that.
You have to be a strong individual. You can't let somebody break you. You know, it's humorous.
Mm-hmm.
Tommy, were you picked on a lot as a child? No, I'm not trying to say that in a bad way. It's just you're funny because you just keep kind of bringing it up. So.
I really was. I've been picked on all my life.
What is your issue?
I still do get picked on, huh?
What is the issue with you?
I don't have any issues.
Okay.
Well, what were you? What do you get picked out about?
This is how I look.
That's all.
They used to call me Frog when I was in school because I have big eyes. But it didn't really bother me because my eyes are, you know, that's what brings all the girls around anyway.
That's all that matters.
Plus, whatever somebody had to say, I had something to say back to you.
And a lot of times when you're younger, whatever your problem was that people had with you, when you grow up, that's your main feature.
Mm-hmm. That is true.
What about you, Zach?
Well, what about me? What did I pick on or did I get picked on at school?
I know you were talking about people. I'm just wondering, did you get picked on?
No, I didn't talk about people. I'll try to believe Tommy. I don't go around talking about people like him.
Oh,
but,
Ryan,
I mean,
you got me started.
No, they get whatever. But, I mean, no, but see, with me, you know, I try to be a trendsetter. So most of the time whenever you, like kind of what I was saying, like, you know, you be different or whatever, you know, people are going to look at you like, well, what is he wearing? You know, cause I will always be the one that would come out, you know, I have my own style. And don't listen there because I don't wear skinny jeans. I mean, just like you wearing the big baggy trash bag pants. Don't hate because I
okay. Don't hate because I can put stuff in my pocket and you can't.
Cool.
Wear skinny jeans. That's okay.
Okay. I told Tommy
people
are not
manly at all. A man should be.
Don't wear skinny jeans.
No, you know you wear your shirts from middle school.
Dad, you gave them to me. But anyway, but like I was going to say, anybody who's listening, especially teenagers, if you're out there listening, just know that times are really rough. You know, people are going to pick. You know, you want to be accepted, but just know that you gotta really love yourself. I mean, I know the deal is just words, but they're really true words. You know, looking at TV, you know, all these artists and models. Remember that's TV. I mean, they don't really look like that. Trust me, a lot of them don't. A lot of them do not look like that. So, just what I'm saying, just love yourself, be who you are, and. Yeah. So, let's go into some final thoughts. So, Diane, what would be your final thoughts for the show?
Well, I mean, you just said it. It's just like all these teens need to know that, or everybody in general needs to know that they're all valuable in some way or another, and it's just getting pregnant isn't going to solve anything. It's not the answer. And same with the plastic surgery. It's just accept your inner beauty, accept who you are, and people will see you for who you are as long as you love yourself.
Exactly.
How about you, Yada?
I think that you must have self-worth and understand, what you're here for and have plans and goals. I think a lot of times, we don't plan things and we don't know where we're going, so we just go for what we see and what's in front of us and what everybody else is doing. So I think we have to definitely make sure that we teach our children to be individuals and have self-worth.
How about you, Tommy?
I'd say don't let your kids get away with everything when they're little, because that carries over to when they're older. And basically, you keep an eye on them. Don't control every, second of their life, but let them live, but don't let them go too far out there. And basically, don't worry about what everybody else says. You be the best person you can be.
Mm-hmm. And I just want to add, too, like for the parents, whenever you do have, children and teenagers, remember that you are the parent, so maybe sometimes, maybe you did get pregnant too early or whatever, but just remember that whenever you do have that child, you're partying and you're clubbing. I'm not going to say it's came to an end, but you really have to focus on your child. You got to raise them. You got to, grow them up or whatever. So you really can't focus too much on yourself, because if you do neglect them, they will go out there and, get in the streets, get pregnant, crime, whatever. So you really got to – by me saying this, not saying that this would happen, but – by neglecting them is more of a chance that it will happen. So just, focus on your children. Put them first.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all agree?
Yes.
Okay, so we're actually 11 minutes down to the show. So everybody, you have listened to Diane and Yada. They gave it to you real hot and fresh tonight. So, as y'all know, we are doing trial hosts. We're trying to get a new host for May. So tonight was Diane and Yada. So I'm going to let them each tell you listeners why they should be the next Real Hot and Fresh host. So Yada, tell our listeners why you should be the Real Hot and Fresh host for May.
I should be the Real Hot and Fresh host for May because I am real hot and fresh. I am a young, black, independent woman, and I am out here living the life. I am definitely in the streets, on the ground, trying to help families, and I'm the one for the job.
All right. And then our girl in Myrtle Beach, Diane, why should you be our Real Hot and Fresh host?
I would have to say just because I have an opinion pretty much about everything, and not about the black and white thing, but I think you need some white flavor in there for a little bit. Come on. You need your country bumpkin on the show.
All right, well, y'all have heard it from them. So y'all know what y'all need to do, listeners. Go to our MySpace and let us know who you think, you know, should be the next Real Hot and Fresh host. Again, their names are Diane from Myrtle Beach and Yada from Atlanta, Georgia. So log into our MySpace, www.myspace.com/RealHotFresh, and let us know who you think, you know, be the next host, who you like, what you didn't like. Let us know because we're a real listener. Also, if you don't have MySpace, you can hit us up at our Yahoo, which is realhotfresh@yahoo.com. And so thank you so much for listening, everybody. Tom, you got anything to say?
Nope.
I mean, that's weird. Usually you have so much to say, and tonight you don't have anything to say. Are you feeling okay?
No, I don't feel good at all.
You don't look good either, so now I'm imagining.
I know. I look good. I look great.
But anyway, I'm just joking. But anyway, y'all know before we go, we got to do 10 ways, you know, you get up. And tonight we got Diane and Yada. So, you know what I'm saying? We got to figure out. You know what I'm saying? We got to do 10 ways, you know, you get up. Look at that. Y'all laughing already.
Well, you get up based on Zach's life, but, you know.
Okay, I'm going to go to number 10. All right, number 10. You know you ghetto if you ever put cents worth in your gas tank.
Uh-oh.
Could you imagine that? I mean, can I get 50 cents worth of gas? That's not going to get you anywhere.
I'll take you 75 on pump 3.
What? You know what I'm saying?
Look, man, I just need enough gas to make it home.
I got 99 cents. I'm going to need 99 cents. I don't have a dollar.
Hey, it's hard times.
Got it right.
Exactly.
Number 9. You know you ghetto if you go through a drive-thru and ask, are y'all open? Okay. Obviously, if they're opening the door, yeah, they're open.
Okay.
I mean, don't Wendy stay open late now. Number 8, you know you ghetto if you keep your money in your bra. Now, which one of y'all do that?
Oh, I am ghetto.
Oh, I am ghetto.
If you go to, like, a bar or somewhere like that and you don't want to carry, like, a purse or something, what do?
In
your bra.
Yeah. I have cell phone shoved in there. I have everything in there.
And I'm like embarrassed when it's a guy that I got to give the money to.
Some guys like that kind of thing.
My
ID
is in there.
The money
out
there, you're like, oh, yeah, I touched it. But
yeah,
the old lady reaching there for her money, you're like, oh, my God.
Oh, okay, Tommy. All right, number 7. Number 7. You know you ghetto if you steal toilet paper from a public restroom because you're out at your house. Well,
maybe not a public restroom, but, you know.
I didn't know I was so ghetto until this list.
Oh, my God.
I didn't know.
Getting clearer.
Oh, man.
Diane.
I know. I didn't have any idea.
No. Okay, well, we're going to move on. Number 6. You know you ghetto if you wore flip-flops to the prom. Mm.
halfway through.
Please make my feet hurt.
Right. Number 5. You know you ghetto if you are in a public restroom and you ask your restroom neighbor for toilet paper.
Hey, now.
That's nasty. That's really nice.
You get in there and then you sit down and you go and you realize there ain't no tissue.
Exactly.
That's the first thing I look for. If I got to, I don't want to, but if I got to, I'm looking for some tissue first.
I'm gonna put it on the seats, boy. I'm on them seats.
And that's right. That's right. You
okay.
Gotta protect the booty.
You gotta protect yourself.
Right. Number 4. You know you ghetto if you wear tons of bracelets on your arm, looking like Patra.
I mean, that's cute.
Yeah, I mean, but some people have, like, the orange, green, yellow. They have all kinds of colors.
Oh, no.
Number 3. You know, you ghetto, if while using the restroom, the phone rings and you come out with your pants down to your ankles running to answer. All of these are bathroom jokes.
Oh, no.
Y'all must have done that.
Oh, what you doing? Nothing.
Okay.
Nothing.
Okay. Number two, you know your house is really dirty and ghetto if the rats in your house are moving out.
That's bad.
And number one, you know your grandma ghetto if she has warrants.
That's bad.
You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
Grandma, grandma be like, yeah, I told her, don't touch my stash. Don't touch my stash.
Yeah, but when grandma's like 30 years old, I mean.
Right. your aunt is 15.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? All right, everybody, so that has been Keeping It Real Hot and Fresh for another Monday night. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. And join us next week whenever we have two more guest hosts. And, again, remember, we will be picking our two hosts for May. So it could be these two. Never know. So we shall see. So check us again next week with a brand new topic. And until then, keep it real hot and fresh. And we want to thank Diane and Yada once again for joining us. So a big hand clap to y'all. Thank you, ladies. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. So this has been SSBN Raleigh Durham Chapel Hill. Until next week, people, we are out.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
All you gotta do is hang up after that.
Okay, I was gonna say, do we hang up? Okay, bye.
Yeah, you hang up. All right, bye.